Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. What a privilege God has given us to remain dedicated in spreading God's word through our weekly broadcast, where we help fortify your faith, enhance your joy, and guide you in your daily walk with the Lord. I'd like to share some notes from our Facebook friends. One comment reads, "I praise God and say prayers for you. Thank you for coming into my home on Sunday so I can worship and listen to your sermons. God bless you all." Another one reads, "My husband and I discovered your program a few months ago, and we now follow you faithfully. I have come to love Brother Salem dearly. I know he is with the Lord now. He blesses my heart each time I listen." In today's message, Noah, Lessons from His Ark, Dad reveals details of Noah's submission to God's will. God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. We're always happy when the weekends come and we can come and get together with you all over the world, talking about the Lord, worshiping the wonderful Lord Jesus. And today we're going to have a really exciting message because we're going to talk about Noah and his ark. And there's a lot of lessons we can get from Noah's ark. So maybe call a friend or two and just tell him, tune in and see what he's got to say about Noah. The psalmist says, it puts it this way in Psalm 104, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh with the wings of the wind, who maketh his angel spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundation of the earth that it should be removed not be removed forever. And so, Lord, this wonderful creation you've made will not be removed until that last time comes. And then, as St. Peter says, it'll be dissolved with fervent heat, and there'll be a new heaven and a new Jerusalem. And, oh, there are so many glorious things prepared for those who love you. And we love you, Jesus. We love you, Heavenly Father. That's why we're having this service today, and that's why we're gathering everywhere, all over the world, to worship you. And we pray that in this service, if people don't know you, if they've never asked you into their heart, pray they'll just make that prayer right during the service. And we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank's going to start us out in singing Sweet Hour of Prayer. And God bless you, Hank.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me. Thank you.
Hank, it just makes you want to pray, doesn't it? And Jesus, we're praying right now, following that song, and we're praying that many will open their hearts to you today. And maybe some, Lord, are discouraged. Some of your people are discouraged, and they need some comfort. They need some help. And that's our prayer. And we pray that everything we say, everything, every word of this service will honor you, our wonderful Heavenly Father. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to be talking about Noah today, and oh, he leaves some real lessons. And if you want to locate the scripture, it's in Genesis chapter 6. But first of all, I want to share some of the letters. You can't imagine how wonderful these letters are. And I'm getting letters from people now, and you'd rather hear the letters than the sermon. Well, God bless you, that ain't going to happen. But we are going to spend some time because when we read these letters, people are saying, well, I've been asking that question too, but I just was afraid to say it, or I never got to wrote in. And so they're getting blessings from the letters. So let's look at some of them. The first one comes from St. Louis Park, Minnesota. And this person writes, thank you for making all of us feel like we're part of a loving family. Words can't express how much you and your helpers mean to so many of us. You truly have the heart of a shepherd, and we thank God for you. And so that's what it is. It's a family, and that wonderful family of God. And you know, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, he talks about the family of God. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And so here Paul, he's telling us, we are this wonderful family of God. Part of that family is in heaven, part of that family is on earth. But it's all the body of Christ. It's all the family of God. And someday we're all going to be in heaven. None of them left in earth. As a matter of fact, this earth is going to be dissolved in fervent heat, and it's going to disappear and be gone. We'll have the new Jerusalem, the new city of God, and all the family will be together. Are you part of that family? Yes, you say, I want to be, but I don't know how to get to be a member of that family. Let me tell you how. You just, in your own words, you say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin, and you know, no sin's going to be in heaven. God isn't going to have one speck of sin in heaven. That's all past. So you just pray, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to just come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake them the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. And when you pray that, you're a part of the family of God. That's what Jesus says in John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, whosoever heareth my word, and you're hearing it preached, whosoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. You have it the minute you believe. You don't die to get it. You don't wait till you get into eternity to get it, or get to the golden gates or the pearly gates. You get it the minute you put your faith in Jesus. You're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And you're a part of that family. And some of the family in heaven, some on earth, all together sometime. That's a nice letter. Beautiful thought, isn't it? Here's Hagerstown, Indiana. I think by supporting the Christian Worship Hour, the Lord's money gets the most of each dollar. I'm happy to support Christian Worship Hour. You're telling the world about Jesus. I'm like you. I'm a farmer, not sheep, corn and beans. I also broke my femur bone. I know what a walker is like. I'm doing good now. Keep up the good work. And so he's worrying about using this money. See, we give 10% to the Lord, and some give more than 10%. You know, God says, but God tells us in 1 Corinthians, and he says, Give as God has prospered you. And so if we have an extra prosperous, then we give extra amount. But we all give a tithe, 10%. And I remember in the Depression days, my mother gave 10%. And if you think you're poor now, you should have seen it when we were in the Depression. There was nothing, zero. And what little we had money that we sold cream. And my mother would take that cream check. 10% came out to God. Don't give God your last nickel. You give him your first dollar. You give him your first nickel. And she took that 10% off. Then she got groceries, went to the old Red Owl store. She got that much worth of groceries, and we went home. Stayed home till the next week. So here's a man, and he's worrying about how he'll use his money wisely. And I can tell you another thing. You can be sure that your money's spent well, because we're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they audit our books, and it's a nightmare. But they go through everything we've got. They haven't got into my sermons yet, but everything financial is checked. So it all goes according to our budget, and every penny spent for the proclamation of the gospel. Here's Heron, Illinois. I failed God many times since he saved me, but he has never failed me. I'm 73 years old, and I love him more today, for I've seen him work in my life. May God bless your ministry. And so I failed him many times. I can say amen to that. I failed the Lord too. This is 97 years old. I was 10 years old when I accepted Jesus, 87 years. And I want to live a perfect life, and haven't got there yet. If our thoughts, Jesus says, you have evil thoughts, that's a sin. And so when I sin, then I turn to 1 John 1:9, and it says there, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when I accept Jesus, he saves me, and he washes away all of my sins. But when I have those daily sins, then I confess them, because it breaks fellowship with the Lord, see? It's like with you and your wife, and you say, and you're married. And so then you say a harsh word. Well, you're still married, but there's a little break there. So you ask her, forgive me for talking like that, see? And that's the way it is with the Lord. We're saved no matter what we do. If we accept Jesus, we're going to heaven, but we won't have fellowship unless we confess our sins. And somebody says, well, boy, I don't know. I sin a lot. I fail a lot of times, and so do I. If I fail 1,000 times, he'll forgive you every time. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh, isn't that the wonderful? That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's how I just love to preach it. I'm in my 75th year of preaching. I never get tired of it. It's more beautiful all the time. It just glows and gives hope. Nobody's in a hopeless condition. You come to Jesus. Well, let's see what I've got here. Oh, San Francisco, California. And this is a lady, and she writes in and says, I'm from the old school of Christians and do appreciate your preaching. I'm 77 years old. I was saved when I was 15 years old. Never regretted a moment of my decision to follow Jesus Christ. I'm so disappointed in the religious programs I see on TV. The ministers have become businesses. They're all wealthy and preach a prosperity message. I'm glad that you do not. I am homebound. I need prayer for health and for other personal issues. I'm alone and have recently lost my only child, but he was a Christian. I'm going to see him again in glory. I live on Social Security and have enclosed a small cash gift. I wish I was able to give more. Please send me the new tape, Heart of a Shepherd. Please write to me because I am so lonely. Thank you. God bless you always. That's San Francisco, California. Well, we wrote to her. And you know, there's a, that God knows when we're lonely and when we're weary. Now here she is, lost her only son. He's gone on to glory and she's alone, but she's not alone because Jesus is there. And God says, I'm going to take you up in my arms. I'm going to carry you. And you, so we remember where he says he picks up the lambs and he carries them and helps them along. Well, he's just not the lambs. He picks up the old people. Did you know that? Well, Isaiah says in 46 verse 4, God says, and even unto your old age, I am he. And even to hoar heads will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and deliver you. And if you want to get it, there's a little in the Living Bible, they translate it like this. I will be your God through all your lifetime. Yes, even when your hair is white with age. I made you, I will carry you along and be your Savior. So underneath of the everlasting arms, so she's not alone. Jesus is there, God is there, he knows. Someday that trumpet will sound. Maybe she'll go before the return of the Lord, I don't know. But she'll see that son again. Won't that be something? Let's see, Des Moines, Iowa. I received the video and loved it, A Heart of a Shepherd. I have several people lined up to watch it. It's lovely, lovely, lovely. Thank you in God's name. Now, that's just exactly what we wanted to do with this Heart of a Shepherd. We wanted to put out it's a one-hour movie, and it tells about coming to Jesus and knowing Jesus. And it's put out in such a way that even the children can use it. And what we wanted you to do is to take this and invite your folks in and show them this picture, or maybe give them a copy of the Heart of a Shepherd. And we'll send it out, and I'll give you the address in just a little bit now. And we'll give you the address, and we'll give it out on a free will offering basis. You send what you can. And if you don't have a penny, and you've got some neighbors, and you want maybe got 2-3 neighbors, you want to give them these films, you just write to us, and we'll send them free and postpaid. If you give them out to people to watch and to listen to, we'll do that. And you say, well, how can you do that if I don't send any money? I'll tell you how we do that. We make money off of that. Because people listen in and they say, oh, well, I've got money and I'm going to help those people. And they don't, these people in prison, they don't have any money. And I want them to get that. And so I'll send a big gift and they'll send gift and we'll pay our way and we'll just keep it going. And if we do go broke, we'll go broke happy. I'll tell you. And so this Heart of a Shepherd, talking about Jesus, come to know this wonderful Jesus. Well, let's see. I've got time for one more, I think. And let me look at this here. Kankakee, Illinois. I was raised on a farm, and I spent many times drinking in the bars. My sins were many in my teen years. After my service in the Air Force, I moved to Kankakee, Illinois, and worked in the coal mines. A man gave me a Bible that I read every day on my lunch hour. I read every day on my lunch hour. God was working in my heart. I realized that God could save even me. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, by grace, not of works. And he's got it exactly right. We got people all over the place and they think they're going to go to heaven because of their works and they're not going to get to first base. God says your works are just like filthy rags, dirty, filthy, stinking rags. I don't want your works. I want your faith and you accept me and then you can go to work and then you can serve God. But God doesn't want any of our works till we come to him, take him as our Savior. This man has it just right. And so he says, it was a free gift. I trusted him for my salvation. And the reason I put this one in is because it tells us, you can see how giving out a tract or giving out a Bible, who knows what God will do. And this man was given a Bible, kept reading it, came to Jesus. So if you'd like to help us in the work, you'd like to send us a letter, and if you'd like to send a gift, and believe me, we have to have your gifts just like we need have to pay our way just like anybody else. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. I had one letter, Overland Park, Kansas. And she said, and this is all she wrote. Pastor prayed, Jan played, and we paid. You bless us every week. Thank your service. Well, that's just exactly what I'm going to do, sister. I'm going to do that. That's our formula, you see, because we don't have any income except from God's people. And so you can send it to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Aberdeen, South Dakota. You may not know where South Dakota is. You don't need to know. Just put Uncle Sam knows where it is. So just send it to us. And it's a, and the, then the zip code is 57402. And here's a miracle. If you want to, you like miracles? Well, here's what you can do. You can get on ChristianWorshipHour.com and send it on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you can send a gift. We got a gift from Norway. Just got it a few days ago. And you put in your money, your Norwegian money, and it'll come with American currency, and we'll pay our bills. You can pay it over the line. And how they do it, I don't know, but they do it all the time. And the main thing is that you pray for us, and you support us the best way you can. Now, if you'd like to have our little Bible study, we have a little Bible study we put out every month, and it's called The New Song, The New Song. And this month, our Bible study is about I will be with thee. I will be with you. I will never desert you. That's great comfort and help. And so you write to us, and we'd be glad to send it. And then always remember that whatever you send will be used carefully, and that we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. We'll account for every penny. So God bless you. So now what I'm going to do, just like this lady wrote in, I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play, and you give. You just ask, dear Jesus, dear Heavenly Father, what do you want me to do? There's lots of good programs, and you've got a lot of good people, but should I help them, and how much should I do? And then he'll tell you, and then that's the way we'll go. And we're in our 40th year. God's never failed to provide. So Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone that having a gift, giving this gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. That's just beautiful, just beautiful. We're reading from Genesis chapter 6, beginning with the first verse. And this takes place shortly after creation, at the very beginning of mankind, of humanity. And it's a story of Noah. And then in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church. We always pray for the persecuted church. They're a part of our body. They're a part of our family. And they're hurting. They're suffering. They're being persecuted unto death. And we pray for them and we love them and God bless them. And we're going to meet those people in heaven someday. And we're praying for the Christians that are suffering in Mali, M-A-L-I. So we read that it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and the same became many mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and had grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for repenteth me, I have made them. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you made us, and we're sorry that it deteriorated the way it was. But you always had your faithful men, and you always had your faithful people. And so the story of the flood comes in, and Noah, and how he was faithful in his family, and how that a new generation sprung up from them. And, oh God, help us to take lessons from this, so that we will stay close to you. They will not drift away and get into deep sin and renounce you, and so that all of our thoughts are evil continually. Help us to be like Noah, to put our faith in you and to serve you as long as we live. Dear Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Mali today. And there they are, and they're suffering, Lord, and they're hurting. And some of them are dying, and others are homeless, and some little children lost their parents, or one of their parents, or maybe both of them, but they didn't lose you, and you have your eye on them, and we know that, but we hate to see them suffer, and we know that you too, Lord. So I pray that they'll help them to know that we love them, and we're praying for them, and that their example makes us stronger. We thank God for them and their wonderful stand. Pray that you'll use this service now, that if those who are weary and lonely will find faith and help, those who are not saved, those who are deep in sin, come to a saving knowledge of the Savior. This is your service, Lord, and we ask you to use it entirely as you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And now Hank's going to sing, How big is your God? How big is God? Yeah.
How big is God? How big is God?
The world man may strive to go beyond the reef of space, to crawl beyond the distant glimmering stars. There's rules of so small within my master's house. He opens fine but a portion of his yard.
you, Hank. How big is God? There's no way for us to comprehend it. He is beyond us. And so when we put our faith in him, we never have to worry because he has all power and might and wisdom and strength, and he'll take care of us. And maybe you feel like you're forsaken. And I know we get to preach to some of the people in the persecuted church. And maybe you're thinking, oh, why are these things happening? Well, God could stop them in a moment's time, but he has a reason. He has a purpose. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And when we meet the Lord someday in heaven, and we'll say, oh, yes, now I see why that was. And so this God, oh, we love you, Lord, so much. And we're so glad that we can just serve you and follow you. And I'm so glad we can preach that wonderful, wonderful message. And we're going to look at Noah. Noah is really a picture of Jesus. But Noah was raised, of course, shortly after the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 3:15, God gives us a promise. And he gives a promise. He says that he's going to send a redeemer. He's going to send a savior, a deliverer. And so right away, shortly after that, in Genesis chapter 3, just before the expulsion from the garden, and then Lamech, for instance, he had a son, and he named him Noah, which means a comforter, rest giver. Eve had a son, named him Cain, which means I have gotten a man, even Jehovah. She was mistaken. Both Eve and Lamech believed they had been blessed with the one who was to be the deliverer and the redeemer of the world. But the redeemer wasn't yet to come for four millenniums, but he did come. And this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ is the great rest giver, when he alone gives us that rest and that help, because he gives us salvation. He gives us redemption. So let's just look at this for a minute. This wonderful Isaiah talks about this wonderful rest that he's going to give us, that he's going to, because we're tormented with our sins and we have all kinds of fears and all kinds of problems. And so when we come to Jesus, we find rest. He says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give us, but I give this wonderful peace, and you can have rest in the middle of the storm. There's a little picture of a little bird, and they wanted a picture of what peace was and contentment. And the one that won the prize was of a big cedar tree. And there was a fierce tempest, and it was blowing over buildings. But that cedar tree stood strong as it could be. And then it showed in against the trunk of that tree on a little limb was a little bird. And he wasn't even bothering about the wind or anything else. He was protected by that mighty tree. And that's a picture of Noah. And that's a picture of Jesus. Jesus says, come unto me. I will give you rest. And maybe you're worrying today. And maybe you're having problems today. And maybe you don't know what you're going to do today. Maybe you're like I am. Maybe you're worrying about old age. Now, 97, old age. Good grief, that's past old age. But I don't worry a bit about it. I just rejoice. And I'm going to live every day I got. And when God is done, he's going to take me home. And I am going to, and like Paul says, for to die is gain. For me is Christ, but to die is gain. See? So you just can't lose. If we live out here, we have that peace of God and the service of the Lord. And then when he takes us home, we have gain. So that's the Noah. So this man, Noah, Jesus says, come unto me, I'll give you rest. And so this man, Noah, he's a picture of a deliverer. So let's look at this Noah, because he's a picture of Jesus, who's going to come in a time of tempest and troubles. And he's going to be a refuge, a place of rest, refuge and safety. Noah was a just man. That means that he was not inherently righteous. He was a fallen man of fallen Adam, just like you and me today. Noah had a nature that God calls sin. He was born just like you and I, we were born in that sin. But he was a righteous man because he was counted righteous by faith. He was a justified man. And so in Romans 5, verse 1, we're told, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with the Lord God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Noah's day, he didn't know anything about Jesus. He just knew that there was a great God. But and Abraham was the same way. He believed God and says that he counted that for righteousness. If you just believe what God says, that'll count for righteousness. And then here comes God. Some guy says, I believe in God. Well, yeah, everybody believes in God. And if you don't, you're a fool. That's what God says. But no, you have to, in this day and age, something happened. Jesus came. And when Jesus came, then everything was changed. And you just don't believe in God alone. Now you have to believe in Jesus. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, you believe in God, believe also in me. You believe in God, not enough, not enough. The devil believes in God. The demons believe in God. They fear and tremble. That's more than some of these people going around taking the name of the Lord in vain. They don't tremble. The demons tremble because they know who God is, who Jesus is, because Jesus is God, see? So you believe in God, but you have to believe in Jesus because he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Have to come by Jesus. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, he comes and he becomes our Savior. And becomes our Redeemer, and we lean upon him, trust in him. And so Noah walked with God, and he was righteous because he believed in God. And then he walked with God, and the old prophet asked the question, how can two walk together except they be agreed? They can't. They can't walk together unless they're in agreement. And so Noah walked with God, and that simply means he was in agreement with God. So what does that mean? It simply means that he is submissive to God's will and to God's word. And when we walk with God, we're not in contentious with God. We take him by the hand. He takes us, rather, and holds us. And we believe his word and we obey his word. And then we walk with God when we obey his word. That's walking with God. And so in the last days, people are going to refuse to listen to God. And so St. Paul tells young Timothy, who is a pastor, he says, this know also, that's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, and that is our age today. That's where we are today. And that's God is telling him, Paul is telling him through God's inspiration, that that's what it's going to deteriorate into. And that's what happened in Noah's day. And they lived so wicked that God had to destroy him, all of the creation. And so here's Noah, and he's going to use Noah. And Noah is faithful to God in the building of the ark. He's undergoing this stinging ridicule and laughter of the world, but he's a preacher of righteousness. He's a giant for God. But you know, he was still had that old nature. And that old nature is with us. When we receive Jesus Christ, we receive a new nature, but the old nature is there. And that's why giants can fall. And that's why Solomon in his old age fell. And sure enough, that's what happened to poor Noah. He was a Hebrew who didn't pay attention. And he got in and he became drunk on one occasion. And he sinned against God. And so God says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And someone put it this way, the gray-haired saint may fall at last, but the surest guide a wanderer prove. Death only binds us fast to that bright shore of love. And so we can fail God, and we can fail him in so many ways. We just have to be careful. And I remember reading of a young pastor, and he asked this old pastor, he says, how can I be sure? How can I be safe from falling? safe from not sinning. And the old pastor said, you'll be safe from sinning about 3 days after you're dead. As long as you're in this world, it can happen. And God help us. And I pray too, in my own 97 years old, I don't do some stupid thing to bring disgrace upon Christ's name and God's name. It can happen. You have to be careful. I remember reading about Billy Graham. And he said, I have to order every word because after all of this journey, I don't want to say or do something that'll be a disgrace to the name of Christ. So that old nature is there. So Noah lived, then this is the kind of days that Noah lived in. They were dark days. They were there was violence was prevailing. Moral corruption was everywhere. People who don't heed God's word, that's what they do. And they become drifted away from the Lord. And you take our society today, our culture today, they've turned their back on God. They put the Bible out of the school, out of the schools. They don't want any prayer. They don't want any God. They don't want any thou shalt not. They don't want any of that. They want to be footloose and fancy free. And they're going to say, let's break the bonds in Psalm 1. Break the bonds of the things of God. I want nothing to do with God. And says God shall laugh at them. Because what we need to do is kiss the Son lest he be angry and he perish from the way. And so this wonderful God calls on Noah, calls on him to do a work. And so he asked him to build an ark. And on this ark, just all alone, as far as we know, maybe he had carpenters helping you, I don't know. But he was the leader of it. Noah was the leader. And so here one person comes and he builds that ark. And it makes you always think about Jesus, doesn't it? One person, he went to the cross and he made the way of salvation. You see, Noah's going to make an ark of salvation for all those who believe, all those who want to come to him, come to God. He'll help you that way, see? But one person, Noah, probably, at least he headed it up, and he obeyed God and built that ark. And so Jesus comes, and he's that great safety ark. And that only salvation in the world is through Jesus. One way to Jesus. And when we put our faith in Jesus, then we are safe. And the flood's going to come, and the judgment's going to come, and the fire's going to come. And oh, my friends, if you're not in Jesus, if you haven't received Jesus, you're going to face the terrible anger of God. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God because he's going to judge this world in terrible ways. So Noah, because faithful to God, he built that ark. And then the ark then became the only safe refuge. There was no other place to go but that ark. It was the place of deliverance from the wrath of God, this refuge, see? So Jesus Christ is the only place of refuge from coming wrath. Just as the flood waters came and destroyed all of creation except those in that ark, so there's going to be a day of judgment when we stand before that great white throne of God Almighty, and we're told that heaven and earth are going to recede. And all you have is a great white throne with an angry God. And you have all of the people that don't receive Jesus have to face that God. There's only one way through that ark. There's only one way through Jesus Christ. And so the scriptures tell us, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so the flood came. And the sinners, they could climb to the top of Mount Everest, or they could go to the lowest valley in the country, but all were taken. It covered everybody. No one is exempt. The loftiest peak offered is no more protection than the lowest valley. And there's only one name, only one way, one ark, and the name is Jesus. Yet I hear every day men want to be saved by their own good works. They don't need Jesus, and they think they have to have good works. I get letters from people talking about doing their good works, but they think they're saved because they have so much knowledge, or they've done so many good things, or they're high standing in society. But brother, sister, I want to tell you, unless you are in the ark, unless you're in Jesus, you have no hope, no hope. That's exactly what it means. All of the people must be in the ark. So after preaching and pleading and preaching and praying, the final day came. And this is what we read, Genesis 7, verse 16. And they went in, male and female, in all flesh. And God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. You see that? Noah and his family entered the ark, and the door was closed. God closed the door. Noah didn't close the door. God closed the door. And noticed it, and so God declared that after all the preaching and all the pleading and all the praying, 120 years, time to repent and save is ended. And he says, you won't have any more chances. He says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There comes a day when you turn the Lord down for the last time. I don't know when that is. But there's going to be a day when God's going to say, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And I'm going to close the door. And that is no more entering. Time is no more. Maybe it'll take you in death. I don't know. But I know it's going to happen. And in the Bible it says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You don't know if you have another minute to live. So you need to come to Jesus before the door of life is closed and the wrath of God is loosed and set a fire and set a flame. And there was the flood and now it'll be the fire and is coming. And so what I have to say, I just want to tell you this, dear friend, you can only come one way. And God's invitation was to Noah was, come into the ark. It's like God says in Isaiah, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, you can't get into heaven with them. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And I know it's in the film. I got that in the film. We got that in the film. You see a sheep and you see, wow, that sheep is that ugly, that old dark, it's got burrs on it, and that wool is, looks terrible. But when you shear that sheep, that lanolin in there, and it glistens like snow, it's white as snow with that flat, where the sheep, the wool is against that body, and they're sheared, and there's white as snow. And that comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find reason. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. And he says, I want you to come. I want you to come now. And so that's what we're preaching in this service. And then there's something that happened here. God closed the door. Noah didn't have a thing to say about it. And I don't have a thing to say about your life or my own life. God is going to take that day. And the time is going to come when you say, I don't need Jesus Christ. I'm strong enough. Okay, you just try it. You know, there's a parable Jesus talks about the wedding feast. And everybody was given a wedding gown to wear to that feast. So they would be all dressed the same. But here comes a man and he says, my clothes are good enough. I don't need the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't need that garment. I'm good enough in myself. And when he came in, there were thousands of people. And then comes the master. And the master sees that whole multitude of people. And he sees one man without the gown. And he says, how do you come in here without the gown? And the man says, I had good works. No, he didn't. He didn't say a word. God is going to come to you someday. And that's why we're preaching. Come to Jesus now. You say, I don't know how. I'll tell you how you do that. You say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I'll turn from them, I'll forsake them the best I can. And I ask you to wash away my sins and thank you. And if you do that, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. We'll send you some literature to help you along the way. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And when you write to us, where, or you get to us anywhere in the world, we'll send you information. And it'll help you to get started in the Christian life. But as far as being a child of God, all you need to do, I was 10 years old, and you just simply say in your own way, "Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you and I'm sorry. And I ask you to come into my life and take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can." I'm praying, pray for that. And I'm going to pray right now, pray that you will make that prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm praying, I thank you for the multitudes of people that are opening their hearts to you right now, all over the world. Only you can see it. And I just pray that all, so many, everyone will pray that prayer. And they're a part of the family of God, and they're a part of the body of Christ, and they've been born again, and they belong to you, and they will never perish. They were there, yours forever. So now I'm praying for them. I pray for those on beds of sickness. Pray for those who are shut in. Pray for those who are lonely. Lonely. Help them to know that you are there. And they won't always be there. They'll be with you someday, but you're there right now. Help them to love you and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. So now I hope you'll write to us. I want to give the address again, especially for those on our shortwave. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send a gift via the internet, christianworshiphour.com. Now, if you want to have our little Bible study, you write for the new song. If you want the heart of a shepherd to give to your neighbors or to have come to watch your service, you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll send it free and postpaid. Now, if you can help us with it, send a love gift. But if you don't have a penny to your name, you're in prison, you're in Social Security, you maybe want to give some to your neighbors, you write to us and you write right away. And we'll answer you and we'll help others to come to know Jesus. Because the door of the ark is going to close one of these days, one of these hours, one of these minutes maybe. And you need to have Jesus. And if you have Jesus, you're safe. And the floods can't hurt you, and the wrath can't hurt you, because you're under the blood of Jesus Christ. Safe and secure forever and ever. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone. Want you to know that God loves you no matter what your sin might be. He loves you. He wants you to come to Him. Christian Worship Hour loves you, and God knows I love you. I'm trying to tell you the best way I can. Come to Jesus. The door is open. Come. Come now.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.